Let us just pause for prayer as we come to God's word. Lord, would you open our ears that we might hear your voice? Lord, would you give us hearts that are attentive to what you are saying? And Lord, would you give us spirits to receive all that you have for us this day? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to be seated. Very happy new year to you. Xing Nian Kuai Le. It's quite good, I guess. As we all know, there are actually many different New Years that the world celebrates in different places at different times. So it wasn't that long ago, on January the 1st, that we were wishing one another Happy New Year at the Gregorian calendar, the solar New Year. Most of the world set their dates and calendars by that calendar. And it was great to be here to watch the fireworks after January the 1st and to welcome in the new year, or on January the 1st, I should say. Back in England, my culture, there's a picture up here. One of the things that we do is we sing an old Scottish song at the stroke of midnight as we welcome in the new year. An old song called Auld Lang Syne. You probably know it. Most people don't know the words, so it's a bit like you make it up as you go along. But what we do is we all hold hands, and what we're really doing is for the sake of old times. That's what it really means in modern English. So what we're doing is we're letting go of the old as we enter into the new, and then we wish one another happiness and contentment in the new year to come. But no sooner do we go through the January the 1st, the solar new year, than we come to end of January, beginning of February, and the lunar new year. And of course, that's what most of you here are celebrating this weekend. So Kong Si Fa Tai. I wish you every blessing and prosperity in this coming new year. I'm actually beginning to get to know some of the more Asian cultures. Now, I've been here about 18 months or so, been in Asia over 10 years now, but enjoying some of the Singapore cultures. So the giving of oranges and ang paos, and especially having fun with lo hei, so tossing the salad, really good fun. What a great way of wishing blessing upon one another. But there are also other ways of being able to celebrate New Year's around the world. So when I was in Thailand, I was a vicar of Christ Church Bangkok for 8+ years. I always used to look forward to April, because April is Songkran, the Thai New Year. So for Thais out there, Sawat Ee Pi Mai. Not many Thais out there, I guess. Who has been to Thailand for Songkran? Put your hand up so I can see. A few more, 8 and 9, not many at all, just a few more. So Songkran is actually the Thai New Year, it's the water festival. And what they do there, they throw water over each other as a way of blessing good luck for the year. So the more wet you get, the more luck you have. So everybody gets soaked and wet for the period of, that's a bit too quick, but they'll come to that picture in a minute. So when we were living in Christchurch, Bangkok, living on the compound, we were right by an area called Silom. Silom is where most people go to celebrate Songkran at one point. And we were on the road leading up to Silom. And so what we used to do is climb the tree that was in the compound with a hose pipe. And then anybody who came up to Silom, we got them first, and they got really wet, so we could bless them before they came. But I really like to look forward, because I had one of those big guns, big water gun. And I used to love to go up and join in the fun and squirt everybody and make everybody wet as well. It was fun, but it could be a bit dangerous. So if you go, you have to be really, really careful. So that was in Thailand. But nobody could beat the next slide. No, the one before. No. One before, you're two ahead. No. Yes. Nobody could beat the fire engines, because when you got onto Siloam, the fire engines were there with their big water hose, and literally hundreds of thousands over the 2 days of Songkran would come past that road to get blessed with loads of water. There are different ways of celebrating New Year. Our next picture shows how they do it in the Jewish calendar. The Jewish calendar has another New Year, Rosh Hashanah, that falls in September. It literally means head year. It's traditionally the time of year when they remember the creation of Adam and Eve. And they have a great way of greeting one another at New Year as well, Shana Tova. It means have a sweet year. And to symbolize that, they use honey or something sweet and apples as a food to symbolize have a sweet year, have a good year. Each New Year celebration, whatever it's called, wherever it is, and whenever it is celebrated, is a time of hoping. It's a time of hoping for happiness and for blessing. It's a time of looking forward expectantly. It's a time when we hope for a good future, isn't it? Our Bible passage this week, as we this week celebrate what we call the Feast of the Presentation of Christ. In this passage, we meet two characters who have spent the whole of their lives hoping. This is Anna and Simeon. Anna and Simeon are a wonderful example of hoping and of waiting, of expectant waiting. They've been hoping for a long, long time. In fact, we've just heard read how Anna was now 84 years old. She'd been a widow for most of her adult life. And much of that was spent in the temple, fasting and praying. Simeon himself, we know, was a very old man and near the end of his life. And both of them were devoted followers of the Lord. Both of them were looking forward to the great redemption that God was bringing to Israel and to the world. And so we read how they are regularly at the temple, that they're praying, that they're watching, that they're waiting. You see, Anna and Simeon had learned the discipline of waiting. And this is very countercultural in our modern world, because we're not very good at waiting nowadays. We do, though, get lots of opportunities to learn. I was reading recently about how we spend a lot of time just waiting. For example, if we live to our late 70s, then we spend on average 25 years sleeping. 25 years just waiting to get up and start a new day. We spend 2 to 2.5 years cooking or waiting for food to be prepared. And I think Singaporeans spend more time than that, because you seem to be spending a lot of time eating. We spend at least 3 years sitting in a classroom in education, but waiting to get out into the world of work. We spend over 15 years clocked in the workplace, waiting to get out to retire. It's said that in an average city, we can spend 5 years waiting in traffic queues. And here in Singapore, you certainly have plenty of traffic lights to sit at and to practice waiting. It is said that men spend 1.5 years in the bathroom, shaving and washing and such things. But women spend up to 3 years in the bathroom, putting on your face. So that means husbands spend at least 1.5 years of their lives waiting for their wives at the bathroom. I worked out that if you listen to one sermon a week for the whole of your life, you spend nearly half a year waiting for the preacher to finish. And you're probably thinking, when is this preacher going to finish? waiting. It's a reality in our human lives. And similarly, it should be, waiting should be a part of our spiritual lives. You see, not everything comes to us instantly in the journey of faith. I remember my son, I've told you before, those of you who are regular, my eldest son, when he was age 15, was run over by a double-decker bus and crushed. We had to learn about waiting and hoping at that time. We had to wait and hope for 14 years, as they did, 14 years, 14 hours, as they did life-saving operations. We had to wait weeks while he was on life support machine. Would he come out of the coma and recover? We had to wait months and months to see if he could ever walk again, as he had to put all of his nerves and muscles back into action and the broken bones mend. We had to wait years of ongoing operations as they had to reconstruct a lot of his body. Waiting and hoping as part of our human living. But often in our modern lives, our hopes are very short-sighted. We so easily get caught up in what I call the I want it now culture that we live in. The consumerist world that we're a part of tempts us to buy things we don't really need with money that we don't actually have. So we can't wait for the future to get something. We take out credit and go into debt so that we might have it now. That is the nature of the world and the society that we live in. We get caught up in the instant world of social media, which demands our immediate response. So we get impatient when we send out a tweet, this might be more to the younger ones, or a text message, or we post something on Facebook. And then if within minutes we've not had a response, we're wondering, is anybody out there? Does anybody care? We're so easily distracted, aren't we? As soon as the bing of the notification comes through on our phone, and suddenly our phone becomes the center of our attention, no matter else what we're doing. For Anna and Simeon, their lives had a totally different focus and priority. Now, of course, they didn't have smartphones hassling them. Life was very different then. But life has always actually had its distractions, just a matter of perspective. We see here in our passage how Simeon and Anna devoted the whole of their lives to waiting and hoping for just one thing, or should I say, just one person, for the coming of the Messiah, the Holy One of God, the Anointed One, the Christ. Now, they were not the only ones who were waiting at that time. In fact, Israel was full of what we call messianic expectation. They were living in turbulent times, military rule, oppression by the Romans. They were waiting and hoping for their Messiah to come. But many of them were becoming impatient. They wanted the Messiah to come like a warrior, to depose the Romans. They were hoping that this new king of Israel, this new Messiah, would sweep them into a military victory. Many people then wanted to take up arms, wanted to take things into their own hands, wanted to get active and to make things happen. They were called zealots. And when they did that, they were brutally put down. This was all in stark contrast to Simeon and Anna. They were waiting patiently. They were waiting and hoping and expecting. They were trusting God for His ways. They were trusting God for His will. They were trusting God for His timing. And this is always the way of faith. We read in verse 29 that God had made Simeon an extraordinary promise, a promise that during his lifetime, that his heart's desire would be fulfilled. And his heart's desire was to see his Savior, to see the Messiah. And then on this day that we're commemorating and thinking about, he did just that. The promise was fulfilled. His waiting was rewarded. Just imagine the scene. Verse 27 and verse 28. Led by the Spirit, Simeon entered the temple. As the parents of the child Jesus brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law, Simeon took him into his arms. I love this scripture. It's an extraordinary picture. Simeon took the Christ child into his arms. The one who was God made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, he held in his arms. He held the one who upholds all things in his hands, the Lord of heaven and earth. He embraced the one who was born to be the Savior and who was to open his arms wide on the cross to embrace sinners like you and me and welcome them home to the Father. No wonder Simeon bursts out in praise. Verse 29 to 32, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servants in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Simeon's hope is now fulfilled. The promise of God to Simeon has been completed. His life has found fulfillment. And he says, My eyes have seen your salvation. He could now die in peace. And this was all a revelation, he says, of the Holy Spirit. And so he prophesies within these verses, because it's not just about the salvation of Simeon as an individual. Simeon declares that the salvation that he has found in this child, Jesus Christ, includes all people. He says it's for Jew and for Gentile. That's the same as saying every barrier has been broken down. Every racial barrier, every national barrier, every social barrier. The gospel of Christ breaks down every barrier. The gospel of Christ is universal. It's global. But it's also individual and it's personal. He says this is a revelation to all. So the hope of Simeon can become our hope too. The passage today is traditionally called the presentation of Christ. But the passage also and the prophecy that Simeon speaks out actually presents Christ to us and asks us for a response. As Simeon had eyes to see the Savior, we are asked through this passage, do we have eyes to see him? You see, here's a light revealed to all, a revelation to everyone, including you and me. And perhaps this day you are glimpsing something of his revelation to you. A revelation that you're seeing for the first time. Perhaps you're getting the revelation that you can put your hope in him. Perhaps you're hearing his call, his invitation, that you might move towards his loving embrace. Let me encourage you, whatever new year you start, to discover him and find more about him. I want to recommend the Alpha course to you. coming up in February. A wonderful place to be able to explore more of the person of Jesus Christ. Then when we go on and look in our passage, we see that Simeon responded to this revelation of the Christ in verse 34 to 35, words of prophecy again. Simeon said to Mary, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." The person of Jesus Christ causes conflict. There will always be those who are against him. There will always be those who are against his way, even against his people. For Mary, the scripture says, this is going to be like a sword in her soul. There's always a cost as we follow Christ. And then we read in verse 35, this light of revelation searches hearts. It searches minds. It searches and penetrates into our deepest, innermost thoughts. Because the Holy Spirit of God is like a searching light. There is no hiding from the sight of God. His light penetrates the darkness of our lives. He calls us to holiness. He wants to purify us from sin. He calls us into wholehearted discipleship. He calls us to go deeper into his will. He wants us to be more expectant in our faith. I just love this story of Simeon and Anna, who clearly lived all of their lives in the place of faith. And here they are, Anna, 84 years old, and still so expectant in her faith. Still so full of faith. Oh, that we, as we've been Christians many, many years, might continue to be expectant and full of faith. We're called to be waiting and hoping and expecting and trusting. So to ask the question that I started with, what are we hoping for this new year? So of course we wish one another happiness and blessings and a good, sweet year. But what are you hoping for with eyes of expectant faith? You know, there is an old tradition which says that Simeon, in his old age, was blind. We don't know whether that was true or not as a church tradition, but it does help us with our imaginations. And many of the filmmakers who have made films of the Gospels and have come to this point, have shown Simeon as blind. It's true in the great film, Jesus of Nazareth. When you look at that film, there's that point when Simeon approaches the temple gates and it's shown him being guided into the temple. And he goes into a corner. This is a corner that he's probably gone to and been in as he spent many, many hours waiting and hoping and praying within the temple. And then suddenly, he hears the sound of a baby crying. He hears the sound of the Christ child crying. And he carefully gets up and he follows the sound to where Jesus is laying. And it is then that he takes him in his hands and lifts the baby up and declares, "Lord, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." The powerful image is this. If he was blind, then he could not actually see anything physically at all. Everything that he was doing was through his eyes of faith. Through his eyes of faith. And so too for us. We will not physically see the Christ. But we can see him through eyes of faith. We can know him through eyes of faith. We can experience him through our eyes of faith. It's only with the eyes of faith that salvation is discovered. It's only through our eyes of faith that the promises of God become realities. It's only with eyes of faith that dark lives receive the light of God. It's only with eyes of faith that captives are set free. It's only with eyes of faith that worried minds receive the peace of God. It's only with eyes of faith that sorrow is turned to joy. It's only with eyes of faith that our hopes can ever be fulfilled. And we see best through our eyes of faith when we are waiting, and when we are hoping, and when we are expecting, and when we're trusting him fully. May this new year, may we learn what it is to wait and hope and expect and trust. And not just for this new year, but for all the years that God gives us here, whether it's 84 years or not. May all of our lives be given over to waiting and hoping and expecting and trusting. Let's bow our heads. Let me lead you in prayer for a few moments. Lord, as we pause in your presence, Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you might shine your light of revelation into our hearts. Lord, that you would bring the light of revelation to those who do not yet know you and follow you. Lord, would you open our eyes to see and appreciate all that you have done for us. Lord, would you open our eyes of faith that we might be able to see more of who you are, of your glory and your majesty. Lord, would you open our eyes of faith that we might see all that you have for us in this coming year. Lord, reveal to us more of the hope that we can have in you. Hope for our future. Hope for our family. Hope for ourselves. And Lord, whatever this year brings to us through the ups and downs that will surely come, Lord, would you strengthen our faith, our trust in you, and increase in us an expectancy of what you want to do in us and what you want to do through us. And so, Lord, as we do that, would you teach us to be able to wait, to be still, to love coming into your transforming presence. Lord, may we receive from you all that you have for us, but help us to be able to come into your presence for that. So come, Lord, bring hope, bring joy, and bring your life. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.